Public radio is strong in our community because of the support it gets from people like you. Thank you. I just really like working in public broadcasting because it's an environment where people are genuinely interested in different cultures. The only thing we're pushing is a better understanding of our world. What you hear can stoke your empathy for people from all parts of our world. We're not afraid of what makes us different. In fact, we celebrate it. One of the people we've met recently on Travel with Rick Steves is a journalist from Iceland. Eagle Bjarnason joins us now to give us a bit of an insider look at life in Iceland and his hometown, Selfoss. It's a small town along the Ring Road, a little under an hour's drive from the capital of Reykjavik. I sure noticed when I was in Iceland, not many dogs, but a lot of cats. Why is that?
Oh, yeah, that's funny you notice that. We love cats. We are a cat nation. And in Reykjavik especially, they kind of roam the streets like they own it. And the sidewalks in Reykjavik, many of them warmed up with geothermal heat. So they lay there and kind of...
Oh, that's it. So there's warm sidewalks. I didn't realize that, but they're heated by all of the volcanic activity under the ground.
Yeah, they have warm pipes, so they never freeze. They never get slippery. The cats...
And people have little doors where they just let the cats come and go out of their houses. So the cats are just kind of like wandering the streets freely and they go home when they want to go home.
Yeah, I mean, cats, they almost have a right to vote here. We take them seriously.
But not the dogs. Why not the dogs? What's the problem with dogs?
Well, it's interesting because dogs were banned in Reykjavik until 1976. We consider them a farm animal. You know, we said they didn't really belong in the city, but I think it's changing now.
Dogs were banned until 1976. That's amazing. Iceland is just, it's a surprising land and so many things about it. And just wandering around in these towns, one thing I've noticed is a big deal, Eagle, in any town at dinner time is the hot dog stand.
That comes from you guys. That comes from the Second World War when Iceland was settled by a lot of U.S. army men. And the hot dog arrived, and it's not a little bit different from the U.S. hot dog. It has a lot more sauce on it and a lot of different ingredients, but it's popular. It's a popular food. I think it's almost our national dish, the hot dog.
I think so. There's a famous one in Reykjavik. I think Bill Clinton or somebody famous ate there, and they make a big deal about that.
Yeah, we made a big deal that he also then got sick later, but we take no fault for that.
No prisoners. But hey, do you have a hot dog stand that is beloved in your town of Selfoss?
Absolutely. I mean, that's our main establishment in Selfoss is a hot dog stand. I can't believe how I forgot.
Do you sit down inside or is it something like you sit it outside on the bench?
It's really a car culture in my town. So it's a drive-through. Or if you're coming home from the bar, you stop there.
Oh, and in Scandinavia, when people get drunk, and the only thing open in Copenhagen is going to be the pulse of the hot dog stand. And that's where they go to cap their night of drinking and drunkenness is to eat a hot dog. And I guess that helps them not get sick or something like that. What's the deal with hot dog and late night?
It's just, for some reason, it tastes so good when you're drunk or when you're drinking.
the munchies for somebody who's drunk. I need a hot dog. It's midnight. For me, as a budget traveler, I like a hot dog in Iceland because it's the only thing for under $10 that you can buy and eat. You can get a hot dog for $5 or $6 or $7 and you can call it lunch.
I think it has a lot to do with its popularity that it's inexpensive, yes.
Now, your little town has one claim to fame that I think is fascinating. It has the Bobby Fischer Center. And if you're my age, when you were little, you know that was the big deal to the chess championship of the world. It was like Rocky. And you got Boris Spassky, the communist, and Bobby Fischer from the United States of Freedom getting together. And they got together in Iceland. And today, how is Bobby Fischer, the American chess champion, associated with your little town of Selfoss?
It's completely random, but long story short, Bobby Fischer became an Icelandic national to save him from prison in Japan. He'd been jailed there for breaking an embargo with Yugoslavia years earlier. So we gave him citizenship, and he did not like it in Iceland so much, but he couldn't get away. There was still a warrant for his arrest. Just after being here for a couple of years, he got sick and died, and his life was complicated. So there was a dispute over kind of where to bury him and when. So they decided to bury him immediately after he died in the middle of the night, and it shows a quiet place just on the outskirts of Selfors, this tiny farm church.
Okay. And therefore, when people are fans of Bobby Fischer, they can make a pilgrimage to your little town, Selfoss, and remember the chess champion.
We have a lot of that. We have a lot of people who come. And Bobby Fischer, he meant a lot for Icelanders. Iceland is a country that has state-sponsored chess players. We take chess really seriously. It's a sport that you can play indoors, so it's really suited for Iceland. And Bobby Fischer also, at the time, during this match of the century, he sort of got Iceland on the map in a way. Iceland was the center of this major sports event. And it was the first time, you know, you'd had foreign press and all this sort of attention that Icelanders were not used to. So people felt like they owed Bobby Fischer a lot.
Right. Oh, that's fascinating. It's fun to make friends with people from all sorts of backgrounds, isn't it? I'm glad you can be with us as we check in with tour guides and authors, adventurers, and all kinds of fellow travelers. We really do learn a lot from their perspectives on Travel with Rick Steves. We're on public radio because this is the place on the dial that assumes you have an attention span. Public radio respects your intelligence. We bring you programming that's not driven by a need to keep advertisers happy, but by a passion for bringing you a better understanding of our world, as complicated, fragile, and beautiful as it is, as we go through some of the biggest challenges of our lives together. In so many ways, this is your radio home. And now I'm asking you to personally do what you can to help support it. Your financial contribution keeps the work of public radio strong in your community all year long. Please contribute right now during this special fundraising edition of Travel with Rick Steves. That way, every time you listen, you'll know that we are indeed travel partners in supporting public radio. If you haven't had a chance to do your part already, please give us a call right now. Or go to the station website to make a secure contribution. Public radio is more important than ever, and it just can't happen without your financial support.